Good morning and welcome to Real Life Christian Church. We would like to draw your attention to our weekly announcements.
The American Red Cross is coming to Real Life Christian Church. Mark your calendar for Saturday, January 20th. Drop by the fellowship hall between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. Your donation is fast and easy. You can even schedule online. We hope to see you for our blood drive on Saturday, January 20th.
This opportunity is a must for those who have a heart to serve. Safe House Atlanta is a ministry that serves the homeless in Atlanta. We will leave the church at 9 a.m. and go to Safe House for orientation and then take a guided city walk by Safe House staff. During the city walk, we will go and visit our friends experiencing homelessness. We will hand out our collected blankets, hats, scarves, book bags, coffee, and donuts. The sign, contact the church office at RLCC at Real Life Christian Church.
On January the 27th at 10 a.m., we will have a ladies' brunch. Whether you're new to the church or you're a seasoned member, come out and join us to get acquainted. Bring a breakfast dish to share with everyone. Drinks will be provided.
Two, three, four. Good morning. It's great to see everybody here this morning. If you will, bow your heads in here with me and we'll get this service started. Dear God, you are holy. You are the object of our worship, the subject of our worship. You are everything to us. Your servant David, all those years ago, he wrote songs, sing your praises. And we continue that tradition today by lifting your name up in praise while we sing for you. So just be with us as we do for you in this morning. Thank you. Amen.
One, two, intro, two, three, four.
Verse. There's a place. define myself probably as a mom first. And I think there's probably a lot of women in the room that's kind of how we define ourselves. And people say that moms are really good at multitasking. I don't know about this mom. Well, you know, we're really good at thinking about everybody else and making sure everybody in our family has what we need or what they need. But maybe sometimes we're not really good about thinking of what we need. You know, for example, yesterday I planned a whole week's worth of groceries and, you know, we're going to pick it up today. I tried to think of everything, but I'm sure there's something big that I forgot. Sometimes I get hyper-focused on everyone else and I forget to take time for myself or to take time for God. We need to slow down and remember that it's really Jesus and God who are taking care of us. In John 6, verse 1 through 14, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only as a test, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Well, Philip, it would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one of them to have a bite. And another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. As the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Jesus takes care of everything. Hearing this story makes me wonder about the boy's mom. When she packed his lunch that morning, did she realize she would be feeding 5,000 people? Well, regardless, Jesus was able to take the small amount of food they had and do great things with it. Jesus is all we need. My to-do list is worthless if it doesn't focus on Jesus first. He paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we can have what we really need, an eternity with God. As we eat cracker and as we drink this juice, let us remember how Jesus is really all we need. Dear God, thank you so much for the sacrifice you made through Jesus Christ on the cross. Thank you that he took the weight of sin, the weight of sin of the world, and he suffered it for our sake. God, thank you for this remembrance, this time that we can come before you and let the rest of the world melt away. Let all the worries fade from our minds and let us focus on the ultimate gift you gave us in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. This morning in Sunday school, we were talking about how Jesus told a parable of the man who had such an abundance of his crops that year that he actually thought about building bigger barns to store all up. And the message of that was to realize the blessings that we have right now and be generous with those blessings. So as we go into offering now, just know that there's lots of ways that you can be generous to church. You can do it online. There's a box in the foyer. You can mail in a check, but it's really about giving with a cheerful heart. Let's pray. thank you much for all of the blessings that you've given us. Thank you for how our cup overflows. God, just bless the money that we're able to give this week and just multiply it to do great ministries in the community. We love you and we're thankful for the way that you have given us to worship through our tithes and offerings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. You can now. I want to make sure that you understand me, right? So, here we are entering a new year. Feels pretty good, doesn't it? You know, in our world, it's like we get a do-over January 1st every year, right? So we say we do. But here's the idea. This is actually the perfect time to look back on the past. Last year. And ask what we can learn from it. You know, that's the reason it's important to teach true history, so that we can learn from our mistakes and our failures and our successes and the things we did right. But it's also a perfect time to look ahead and ask ourselves if we're living the kind of life that God wants for us, or if we could do better. How many of you could do better? I'm raising my hand. Well, today we're going to begin this new sermon series called Better. And we're going to look at four different areas in our lives that we could make some very simple changes in order to experience God's fullness and His blessing. Isn't that what we want? We will evaluate our priorities, our relationships, our choices, and our witness. So, let's open our hearts and minds as we dive into our priorities this new year together. Now, here in front of you, you see I have three buckets. And in these buckets, there are rocks. I'm going to start throwing rocks at you, especially if I can't get this lid off. You know, it's funny. This morning, I was all worried about spilling them, and I can't get the lid off. But in this rock, this one here, it's got little rocks. And these represent priorities in our lives. And in this box, we got great big rocks and one little one. But in this box of little ones and big ones, they represent the big priorities in our life, like our relationship with God, our family, and church. Those are three big priorities, shouldn't they be? And it'd be in that order: God, family, church. And it should go just like that. And then here we have the little stuff, don't we? Stuff like our hobbies. How big of a priority is that? Or, you know, our favorite sports team. Or what we're going to eat. What we're going to spend our money on today when we go out of church. But these are the little things. And what we have to determine is how we can get all of that to fit into our life and get a lid on it. Don't we all like that? To have our life all nice and neat and be able to have the lid on it so that everything just fits just like it should? Isn't that what we want? We want to have our priorities straight so that everything fits. Well, if we put these in first and we concentrate on all the little stuff and it crowds our life, and then we grab God and we stick Him in there, and we grab our family and we stick that in there, and then we grab, you know, church, we add that, it doesn't fit. does it? You can't get the lid on it. Life is crowded out by the little stuff. But if we'll get our priorities straight and do the main thing, be the main thing, put God first, then our family in there, and then church in there, and then pour in all the rest after we put the main thing first, it all fits. It all fits. It all goes in there together. Because we put the important stuff first. We put it on our life. And we've got our priorities right. So how many of us are living it the other way around? Where we've got all the little stuff crowding out the important stuff. And we wonder why our relationships are falling apart. We wonder why we're not satisfied in our jobs. We wonder why our relationship with God isn't what we want it to be. It's because we're not putting the right things first. You know, the Bible speaks to our need to order our lives well. God knows that without keeping the main thing, we can get lost in the little things. And as we begin this new year, we've got to take an honest look at our life and consider what priorities we have put first. What things matter the most? So let's just dive right in there. And the first one is we got to seek God first, right? We're Christians. You can't church today. You should seek God first. Jesus' most famous sermon in the Gospels is the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus turns to preaching and teaching about how we have a tendency to worry about life. Y'all ever worry? Yes. A lot. You know, maybe some of you can relate right now. You've got worry in your mind now. You know, you're worried about paying the bills. That's a big deal, isn't it? Are you worried about your children? Or maybe even your grandchildren? Are worried about marriage? We're worried about the next year, my old force. You know, it is an election year. Who knows what's going to happen, right? So we're worrying about all this stuff, and it's normal to worry, but Jesus says that trusting in Father God is the only way to keep us from being paralyzed by this anxiety that we get from living in this fallen world. Matter of fact, in Matthew 6:33, he says this: seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We must seek God first. Do you hear the language of priority in this? Jesus tells us that when we seek after a life that pleases God, all things that we have, the tendency to worry about life, will fall into the proper order. If you put him first, all this worry and everything else will follow us. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to be easy, does it? It doesn't mean the bills are not going to not come. It doesn't mean you're not going to have to work on your relationship with your spouse. It just means you put what really matters first. And it makes living with this stuff easier. So let's look how this might quickly work out day in and day out. When it comes to our marriages, we might work out it. When we put Jesus first, we might be mature, a more gracious, loving, kind spouse. And guess what? That would probably impact positively your marriage. If you were kind, if you were nice to each other, if you put God first. Naturally more kind, isn't it? You think that would help your marriage? Absolutely. And when it comes to finances, maybe focusing on God first, you know, may reveal to him, maybe we spend too much on things that don't matter. Do any of you ever do that? Spend money on stuff that doesn't really matter? We're all going to do it after church. And when it comes to our children, we find that putting God first may make us a more and understanding our kids. Maybe, but should. So as we think about these priorities, the question is, are you seeking after God? Are you? Is God at the center of these things? Or are you seeking after the smaller stones that don't matter much? Is your attention and energy divided? You know, someone asked legendary coach Tom why he'd been so successful as a football coach. And he said, in 1958, I did something everyone who's been successful must do. I determined my priorities for my life. God, family, and football. Well, he got it right, though, didn't he? He put God first and his family. And football, was very successful in football. Right, knew that in order to succeed in our families, in our careers, we've got to seek God first. And how do we seek God? How does it look? Because it's real easy to say, I'm seeking God, but are you really? We seek him like we seek anything else. You've got to spend a lot of time and energy in pursuit of him. Seeking God takes time. It's a marathon, not a sprint. You're not going to get there tomorrow. You've got to work at it your entire life. And, you know, we also seek God by knowing what we're looking for. You ever do that? Where you go looking for something, and you walk in the room, and you're like, what am I in here for? I did that yesterday. I walked in the garage, and I was going after like a can of peas or something. And I walked back upstairs with a flashlight. Really? I'm just admitting my age. In reality, I did do that. I'd forgot what I was seeking after. And I didn't even need a flashlight. It was during the day. But without knowing what we're looking for, we'll never know when to find it, will we? I had to go back downstairs and get a can of peas, I think. It was probably something else. But when I seek God, I'm looking to do things in my life that shape me into someone who looks more and more like Jesus Christ. To be more loving, courageous, and sacrificial. And the only way we make the effort to seek God is first by deciding to love him more than anything else. Jesus speaks this too. In fact, there's a moment in the Gospels where the Pharisees and Sadducees try to trap Jesus by asking him a question about priorities. And as he travels along, he's cornered by a lawyer who says this. He says, you know, that hearing that Jesus silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together, and one of them, an expert in the law, tested him with a question. Teacher, what is commandment in law? And Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And then he went on, he said, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these commandments. Did you catch the question the man asked Jesus? He says, what is the greatest commandment? He said, Jesus, what should I have as my greatest priority? It'd been the same question, wouldn't it? What should be my biggest priority? And Jesus quotes a command from the Old Testament when he tells him to love God with all his heart, soul, and mind. And this was Jesus' way of telling him you have to love God with everything, with every piece of you. Do you love God with all that you have? Do you? How can you tell when you love something or someone? The easiest way is because you talk about it. Or you talk about them all the time. Because they're always on your heart and mind. You talk about it. You know, when a couple falls in love, it's almost sick how much they talk about each other. And when someone really loves their sports team, they bring them up all the time. And I got to live in Georgia country. And when we love him, when we love God, with all we have, we can't stop talking about him. He's regularly a topic of conversation. We look for reasons to bring him up. You know, I find this true in my marriage with my wife. I talk about her a lot up here anyway, don't I? I talk about her all the time. I'm glad she can hear me. No, I love her with my whole heart. And I love to talk about her. And I love to brag about her. I'm always looking for reasons to bring her up. I want to do everything I can to please her. Because I don't like to sleep on the couch. My love for her makes everything else I do in life meaningful. I look for how everything I can do can help empower the love we share together rather than being a hindrance to the love we share. Loving God with our heart and soul and mind helps us to realize that every part of our life is incredibly meaningful. How we do our life reflects how we love God. How you live every day is a reflection on how you love God. This means how we handle our career is meaningful because it says something about our relationship with Jesus. It means how we parent our children is reflective of our relationship to our Heavenly Father. Love for God should be the motivation and the inspiration for every day over next year. We should want to look back over the next 365 days and recognize the ways we loved God with all that we have. This is what I've found. God actually meets the needs of our lives most fully when we prioritize His needs in our hearts. Do that again. God actually meets the needs in our lives most fully when we prioritize His needs in our hearts. That is a result of love. Notice how Jesus ends the conversation. He tells the man, first and greatest commandment is to love God, but the second is just like it. We're to love our neighbor, and some of us got some neighbors hard to love. Some of you are sitting beside them right now. But it seems that unless we get loving God first, we have no hope of loving our neighbor as well. Not the way we ought to. There's a prioritization that God lays out for us in this passage. He even says in verse 4, all the laws and the prophets depend on getting the first two right. They are the big rocks and the rest of the small stones. We can't get them out of order. We got to focus on eternal rather than the temporary. Focus on the things that are going to last forever. One easy way to know where we put our energies this year is by asking a simple question. Is the thing eternal or is it temporary? Is this something that matters for eternity or is it something that's going to go away? If we spend our time serving others and focus on their eternal souls, on the contrary, but spend more time focusing on building a massive 401k. We care more about our money and our stuff than we do the souls of those people driving up in the street. It should be that way, should it? It should break our heart that every day, thousands upon tens of thousands of people drive by the place and they don't know Jesus. That should hurt because their eternity matters, doesn't it? Because let me tell you, eternity is a long time and you're going to spend it in one place or the other. And we should care about our neighbors, even those that get on your nerves. We got to focus on something all the time that we can't take with us when this life is over rather than the eternal soul in people. Which one is better? I would argue it is the eternal. Paul understood this important distinction. He wrote to the church in Corinth when he said, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Paul says we should not spend all our time focused on the stuff we can see. Rather, we should focus on that which is unseen. The things that we see are one day going to pass away. You know, let me let you in a little secret. One of these days you're going to die. That's it. Somebody else is going to be sitting in that chair you're sitting in now. Some of you call my seat, you know. Somebody else is going to live in your house one day that you worry about so much. And they're going to get the same bills you worry about so much. All this stuff is temporary. Everything is temporary except your soul. So the things that we see one day, they're going to pass away, while the things that are unseen, they're going to go on forever. Which is easy to spend our energies on. It's a lot easier to spend it on the stuff we can see, isn't it? You know, it's the more obvious to us. Because we want to get vacation because I kept my yard just right. Look at the perfect yard. Not really. But just an example. We worry about those little things. Now, I'm not telling you to let the weeds grow in your yard, but I am telling you that it means very little out of eternity. Eternity is a long time. You know, it means taking more attention and effort to give ourselves to the things of God and less attention to the things that are seen. You know, over the triple doorways of the Cathedral of Milan, there are three inscriptions spanning these big arches. And over one is carved a beautiful wreath of roses. And underneath it is the legend, "All which pleases but for a moment." And then over the sculpted cross, and there are the words, "All that which troubles us but for a moment." And then underneath the great central entrance, the main entrance into the cathedral, is this inscription that only is important which is eternal. If we will realize these truths, we won't let little things trouble us. And we won't be so interested in so much in the passing pleasure of the hour. We should live the permanent and the eternal. It gives you more to live for, doesn't it? As we go through this series and get into the new year, I want to encourage you to think of these things and bring them before God in prayer. What in life be reordered? What could be reprioritized? You know, make sure the things that receive your time, energy, and attention and affection are the things that will last. Take a moment and pray and ask God to show you big rocks in your life and where they are. Ask him. And when you ask, you need to be sure he's going to show you. And you'll know whether you have your priorities right or not. You already know. Some of you tuned me out when I said the word priority. Because you knew your priorities are out of whack. When God shows you what you need to have first, place those on schedule first. Millstones become next. As a secondary priority. It's okay to have little stuff. It's okay to have hobbies. It's okay to have your favorite whatever you like to do. But don't put them over God, family, your church. You got to put the main thing to be the main thing. The little stones come next. If our priorities are centered around God, everything else has a way of working out. Seek first God and his kingdom. But to seek God, you first have to know whom to ask. You first need to know who you're searching for. If you don't know God, you need to come to him now. There's going to be an invitation for you to come and confess him and baptize, receive the Holy Spirit, and begin that walk with him so that he can help you set your priorities straight. But a lot of us have already done that. If it's you and you've realized that over time you've allowed this world to drown out and you've lost your big rocks, your priorities, and they've been drowned out in the little stuff, this is an opportunity for you to set it right. You know, maybe some of us need to pour our bucket out on the ground, dig through all the mess and put the important stuff. And leave the rest behind. Focus on our relationship with God. Focus on our relationship with our family. And then focus on what's really important, and that's eternity. If that's you, and you need to just pour it all out this morning, you can come forward here and you can pray. I'll pray with you. And if everybody comes up, we'll all be together. But if there's one thing I'm sure of, Jesus loved you enough. You first. Loved enough to say, "You're so important that I'm willing to die for you." Just die. Die a horrible, terrible death. If that's not love, then there's such a thing. So if you need Jesus, come forward. If you're going to pray. Whatever it is you need to do. Let's start today as we stand and sing. Thank all of you for coming out and worshiping with us here at Life Christian Church. Now, as you know, in the coming months, you're going to work on community. And I'm going to set up a lot of things where we can spend time together. One of them is going to be the cook-off coming up. Now, I've got a question. We're going to do the old-fashioned raise your hand thing. Now, I've got it scheduled for Sunday at 5. But many people would rather do it on a Friday night, say at 7. Anybody else? So Sunday is. Go with that. That was easy, wasn't it? Because I want to make our time together as easy as possible. And I want us to grow closer together as a family. Because guess what, guys? We need each other.
Amen.
This world is hard. And we need each other to get through it together. So we can spend eternity together in heaven. So that means we get along now. Because I ain't fighting with you in heaven forever. I think she did out. But in reality, guys, I do. I want to see this church grow closer together and bring as many people as we can. And don't forget, yeah, the Rexdale family, they brought the baby. He's just big, really. You know, he's tiny. And he didn't cry yet. That's okay. Let him cry. You know what? It's a blessing, isn't it? And we're going to help each other, just like the Ragsdales, to get through this world together. No, it's a blessing he's here. He can cry all he wants. I don't care. Now, I've preached our many a crying baby. Hey, listen. Let's go be the church. It doesn't do any good to come in here and sing how much he loves us if we don't go out there and worldly how much we love him. So let's go like he does. All right, I'll be up here for a little while if you need me after. Hey, let's go tell everybody about Real Life Christian Church. I still have the best church in town, right? All right, can you do this?
Please, Pastor. Dear God, it's true. Love us so much. You love us and you put us first. You make it worth it for us. So just help us put you first. Help us show that we love you. Help us show that we love each other as we go out in the world and we be there in your name. Be with us. Thank you. In Jesus, amen.